And we're back for the B-A-Q-A. I wish you guys could see us, me and Maddie, like we're like bopping heads. The B-A-Q-A. All right. We call it the B-A-Q-A because it's Brown Ambition Question and Answer. We do it every Friday for y'all. You guys have amazing questions. So much so we had to do a whole nother show for it. So, if you have questions before we start, make sure you send them to us at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com, right?
Is that a question? Yes, correct. Correct. Ding,
ding, ding. I got it. Ding, ding, ding. All right. And you can also tweet us at Brown Ambition Podcast, right? On Insta. I said tweet us on Insta. You can send us an Instagram DM. We're Brown Ambition Podcast. And we're the BA Podcast on Twitter, correct?
Yes, ma'am. And or if you just want to make it simple, just go to brownambitionpodcast.com. Our new, beautiful, redone, zhuzhed up, glossy, gorgeous website. And you can ask us anything there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on into it. I'm going to take the first question. All right. So this listener wants to be anonymous. She says, thank you for all you do. I've been listening for years. I love how you break down the answers to questions on your show. Thank you. Alrighty, so here's her question. She wants to know, when does it make sense to use credit unions? I recently combined finances with my spouse, and I'm more bothered when it comes to debt. I'm only comfortable carrying student loan debt, which I have about $16,000 of. My partner is also trying to pay off about $9,000 of personal consumer debt that has skyrocketed due to unemployment with the pandemic. And this year, we've managed to also rack up close to an additional $4,000 of consumer debt. This is low interest. This is low interest to no interest. Think 12. Oh. We've also managed to rack up close to $4,000 of credit card debt on a 0% financing credit card for 12 months. That means that after 12 months, it's going to be a lot more than 0%. Mm-hmm. She says, I'm thinking it'll make sense to try to get a $10,000 credit union loan to at least clear the high interest personal consumer debt that accumulated before our marriage. For additional context, pre-tax this year, we've made about $85,000 and my credit score is 720. Thanks for your help. Okay. What a time to get married and be dealing with debt together.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I definitely think that the rationale of her tackling the high interest consumer debt, mm-hmm. they do have this 12 months where the $4,000 is not accruing interest. Mm-hmm. You know, at 0% intro financing. So I get that the bigger concern is that $9,000 of debt that her husband has that is, like she said, been skyrocketing thanks to interest because it sounds like he was unemployed for a while. Mm-hmm. But the core question, when does it make sense to use credit unions? Like right now?
Yeah. Honestly, here's the thing.
This is a good time.
I like to have three financial partners, if you will. One, your brick and mortar bank. You know, they're my least fave because, you know, they don't give you nothing, but they are convenient. When I say brick and mortar bank, you know, the big old banks on the corner, we don't say their names over here. But, you know, like for the convenience of it all, this is where literally I just do my checking, like swipe my debit card, pay my bills and leave me alone, sis. Right. Second partner I like to have is an online only bank for savings, because if I'm going to save, like Mandy talked about, like in our prior, Brown Ambition episode, the one before this, go listen if you haven't. Okay, it's good. So she talked about that she and husband saved like a year's worth of savings. So they wanted to have it liquid before she kind of made the leap into what she's doing now. So if you are going to save, I'm not talking about investing, but if you're going to save, it's better to save in an online only bank that's going to issue you a higher interest rate than that brick and mortar bank on the corner that's going to give you a piece of a penny. Okay. And then the third is credit unions. To me, I like a credit union specifically for their interest rate if you need to borrow money. That is why I think everyone should have a credit union connect, because with credit unions, you know, like if I was going to purchase a car and I had payments, I would get my financing through a credit union. You know, purchase a house, I would try to get my financing through a credit union, because credit unions are many credit unions are nonprofit based, And they are typically like kind of like co-owned by the members inside the credit union, which means that the rates that they issue are enough to keep the doors open and the lights on, but they're not as aggressive with trying to make money because that is not the purpose of a credit union. The credit union is a community financial resource. And so, yes, everyone listening, you know, you should at least have a relationship with a credit union. But what did she say her name?
No, she wants to be anonymous.
All right, we'll just call you Debbie. So Debs, because you know you have Debbie, get debt, Debbie. Okay, anyway. Don't worry, Debbie. I'm not judging you because Shad, Lord knows I had a ton of debt. But you got a great credit score, you know? Remember, the beginning of perfect credit is a 740, but 720 is nothing to sneeze at. So I don't think you're not going to get turned down by a credit union to borrow money. I can't tell you, like, the amount, but it's very likely that you'll get, you know, something. And if it was me, I would remember me and Mandy are not giving you personal advice, but we could just give our opinion, like, how we would do it. But if it was me, I would get a loan from my credit union, pay off that high interest rate debt, you know, really try to negotiate down the lowest interest that I can get, that the debt that I have the zero interest on, I would be very aggressive in paying that off. Make sure that, you know, find out at the end of the payoff, if you have like $2 left over, they're not going to then flood you with the full interest that you did not have to pay. Like, figure out basically what are the terms of that loan. And make your credit union your friend, like do most of your lending through them. That's what I would do if it was moi.
Yeah. The only thing I would add is credit unions, like Tiffany said, are great. They even have a max interest rate they can charge you. It's 18%. Mm. So you're never going, which sounds like high, but when you think about some, there are online lenders out there that are no better than payday lenders,
yep.
You know, storefronts, and they charge like triple digit interest rates. I mean, so 18% is their max on personal loans and things like that. But even though, so if you were considering a credit union, what I would say is your credit score is really good. See what interest rate they offer you and how much they offer you. And just get a couple other quotes, even from some online lenders. Mm-hmm. You do have good credit. I think it might be, you'll have to decide, though. I'm wondering, she gives her credit score, but not her husband's, and it's his debt. So it's that kind of sticky, icky thing of, putting my credit on the line for your debt? What's his credit score? That's what I'm curious about. And is he taking out the loan? And I'm going to be for real, I've talked to at least three different women recently through my career coaching who have been in really nasty breakups, and they have been left on the hook for debt that their partner, that they took on, you know, as a couple, but really it was, you know, is it in a couple in your feelings, or is it a couple on paper? Because what's often happening is you have one person taking on the debt. So I would definitely think carefully before you put your finances on the line to consolidate his debt. Mm-hmm. But let's say, you know, he's got solid credit. I would say 100% he should be consolidating his debt. Start with a credit union and then see if some online lenders you can get some quotes from as well. And ultimately go with the lowest rate possible on a fixed personal loan. That is just an idea. Like Tiffany said, we are not your financial advisor. We don't know everything about your financial picture. There's so many questions here. But that's just our thoughts for now. Yay, marriage. What's yours is mine. Neat.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
All right, what's our next question, Tiff?
Okay. Hi, my sister turned me onto your podcast, and it's been so helpful to continue our healthy relationship with money and talking about it with each other. Hey, sister, you're a great sister. Thank you. I have a question for you. I have a job with a pension, PERA, in Colorado. I can buy up to 10 years of service time and accelerate my retirement by either 10 years or work on my job until normal retirement age, but get nearly 100% of my highest income for the life after I retire. Problem is, the cost of buying years accelerates quickly as I get older. Does it make sense to use a loan like a HELOC? A HELOC, for you guys who don't know, it's a,
Home equity loan.
Yes, thank you. Ooh, child. Home equity loan or home equity, yeah, line of credit. To buy years of service, PERA will loan me the money at 7%, but I could get a HELOC for less than 5%, probably closer to 3% right now. I could see myself working there for the next 20 years, but I also would get the option to take a lump sum out if I move on before retirement. This feels like a good idea, but it also sounds like cheating.
Cheating.
Any advice? Thank you so much. Even if you don't answer this, I love what you're doing. A public servant. Oh, hey, PS, public servant. So just to get clear.
I had no idea that you could do this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you could buy years of service. This is fascinating to me.
You should ask husband, because he's a public servant as well, right? And I know my husband, Superman, is a public servant. So we actually did this, although we didn't have all of the nuances that you have, public servant, meaning that it didn't, like, he could have done it at any time, basically. It didn't actually cost more the longer that he waited. So I was like, that was something new. It took us a few years to make the decision of whether it made sense, but we weren't in a rush, thankfully, because he didn't have to do that. And then also too, I think his max was like 5 years that he could buy back. Eventually, after sitting with our financial planner, Anjali, hey girl, we decided it made sense. Now, to your point, because he's going to technically, quote unquote, retire early, if that's what he so decides, he's not going to get the 100% of the money he would have gotten. I think let's just pretend that you get 60% of your paycheck in your pension, because my husband has a pension as well, right? So he's not going to get that. It will be less. But we did the math and we were like, okay, one, by the time my husband retires, we already have one property that's basically done. We'll be able to rent it out for about $2,200 a month. Now the property is paid off and renovated, so there's no mortgage. So if he saves half of it, and then the other half basically is what I told him, now you're starting to replace your income. So I told him, you have 5 years, to use real estate to replace your income. So him not getting the full pension is not as important as what was important to me was, because he could technically quit now, really, I guess. Well, that's not true because he doesn't have the full money from the homes yet. But let's just say that we get an apartment complex this year and it's like, well, now he's making $10,000 a month. He could quit. No, I want that insurance. Like for us, that's why we're like, no, I want him to finish out, because his insurance is A++ as it is for many public servants. Like y'all know, for those of you who are OGs, I did IVF for like 3 years, and it was probably would have cost us well, definitely into the six figures, if not multiple six figures, because we did it for so long. But I paid $10 out of pocket when I went to see the doctor. I paid nothing for all of the surgeries. I probably paid out of pocket less than $3,000 for the 3 years. And that's because I had to, I froze some of the eggs and that's something that they did not cover. So I just say all that to say his insurance is so great. I want to take it with us And so, you know, I don't know the right choice for you, but I wanted to give you like a path of our thinking. Like, how important is it for you to have the full amount of money at the end? Do you get to take your insurance with you? I don't know that there's a right or wrong. 10 years is a lot of time. And does she say how close she is? No.
She says she can see herself working there for 20 years.
But she doesn't know.
We don't know. 20 years.
But we don't know when her, like, so meaning like if Superman works for the next 10 years, he'll be able to retire, but we can shorten it in half. We don't know how far or close she is to like whatever the full amount of years are. I guess we can assume it's 20 years.
She said that she's going to accelerate it, that she's thinking of buying up to 10 years of service to accelerate her retirement by 10 years. So it looks like she's looking to cut 20 into 10.
Yeah,
maybe that's what 30 that's what to
I'm
down thinking. To 20.
That's what I'm something wondering. Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Mandy? What would you do? Because I don't think there's a right or wrong here.
Girl, the only thing I could think when you were telling your story is if you're listening to anything public servant, it's the fact that Tiffany and Superman, I keep calling him husband. I'm sorry. He's Superman. That's I have husband. Anyway, that you guys went to Anjali, your financial planner first. Yeah. This is a prime example of a complicated math problem that you want to see 7 different scenarios lined up. And that is something that I know my financial planner, Helen, would be extraordinary for. So I'm saying this is a good, it's such a big decision too. You're talking about also a HELOC. How does Superman pay for his years?
We
did
it. We saved it. We saved it. And
you saved it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't know if we would
have paid cash.
Yes, we pay cash because,
HELOC is a whole other element to this that you got your house on the line. Yep. You know, that's your collateral. That's why you get a lower interest rate. So it's a very complex question. Yeah. And I think that it's a perfect time. This is a big enough situation where finding a fee-based or fee-only financial planner who can help you with this particular situation, they'll get all your personal information down, your family, all that, and their household expenses and debts, and help you walk through all of your options. Because to me, it's such a big decision that I would feel a lot better if you had. Personally, I would feel a lot better. I wouldn't make this kind of decision without talking to my financial planner. And I don't think necessarily you could make that decision. But if you're doubting it, I would say definitely lean on a personal financial advisor, which, of course, Tiffany and I can't do because we don't know that much. We only have, you know, a little email from you. So I'm not trying to get out of saying an answer, but genuinely, I ain't got one. I just say
it's a lot too. There's so many nuances, and you're right. That I think the biggest thing to take away is the fact that like we did not make this decision by ourselves. You know, we asked, we were like, so what do you think? And she was just like, well, she looked at how much savings we had. She actually asked, like, we had to go. I had never seen his pension paperwork or whatever. We had to go download it, get it for her so she could actually look through the pension paperwork to see, you know what, you know, do you get to take? Because I was like, do you get to take your retirement, your life, not life insurance, your health insurance with you fully? Like, what does that look like? So these were things, you know, it's all, so she weaved through all those things and was like, so here's what's on the table. Yes, you get to take it with you. Superman, you're not going to make the full amount because you're going to leave early. She even gave us the amount, the differential between if you stayed to the end to what you're making now, you know, so we can make that decision. And here's the thing, what's so great is that he could still stay if he wanted to. Like people work past quote unquote retirement age. So it's not like if he's like, you know what, actually, I don't mind it. I'll stay an extra 5 years or whatever. He can still do that. I just wanted for him, he just wanted the option of being able to say, you know what, if I do want to leave early and I do have, you know, this other source of income coming in that I want to focus on, I have the option to do so. But yeah, Mandy's right. This is a big, big, big decision. Very complicated. But honestly, you're in an awesome place to even be able to make this decision. Like, who can say that? I can buy 10 years off my time. That's awesome.
I mean, hells yeah. All right. Well, I feel like this warrants a follow-up email. Let us know if you find a financial planner. If you're in Colorado, a good place to start for finding a fee-based planner is National Association of Certified Financial Planners, NAPFA. We'll put a link.
Yes.
We'll put a link in the show notes, but you can ask for referrals, find someone in your state because they're actually probably going to have experience working with people who work with the pension system there. So, you know, big decisions, grown up tings. Good
grown up tings.
Good luck. Grown up tings. All right. I think that's it for the BAQA this week. Thanks, y'all, for listening.
Yes. If you have questions, don't forget, send us your questions. We love, you can send us your personal financial questions, but also too, you know, Mandy is quite the career educator these days. Send us your career questions. And you know I'm all about that business. So send us your business questions as well. Like, we love business, career, and personal finance questions, because we are here to provide, you know, our thoughts on it. Obviously, we're not here to advise you specifically, but to provide our thoughts on it. And we love a wide range of questions. So, you know, send them on over to brownandbishoppodcast.com. Click. Is it still called Ask Us Anything? Like, what does it say on
there? You know what? As I was saying it earlier, I'm like, I don't even know what it says anymore.
Right.
Our brand new website. There is, I think you just scroll down, scroll, 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 and there should be a form there. If not, you know, it's
there's
easy.
There's a contact us. I say, at worst
contact.
Case scenario,
there you go.
There's literally a contact us button. Yep.
Yes. Yeah, I know. We've like trained ourselves over 6 years to say that exact expression, and now it's different.
Oh, yeah. No, and now that I'm here now, it looks great. If you click the Contact Us, first of all, this picture is super cute of me and Mandy. If you click the Contact Us page, like box, it actually has like BAQAs right there. Like, you can see it. So
that's right. Yep. I remember deciding that. Okay. Did I tell you my mom loves our podcast? She was like, she wrote me the most thoughtful review. Aww. You know how sometimes you're just like, I can't believe you took the time, mom, but thank you.
Aww.
She said, you know, there are some websites I just do not keep scrolling if it's too hard to navigate. I'm doing it in her Midwestern.
Oh, I love that. Minnesota. Minnesota. I love
to navigate. She'll be so annoyed because honestly, there's more Georgia in her than she likes to admit. But anyway. She was like, it's just so beautiful and easy to navigate and so intuitive.
Aww.
So yeah, I'm excited. It's gorgeous. It just makes me happy.
It does.
I think it just really reflects our spirit much better. But, you know, shouts out to our original OG, brownambitionpodcast.com. It served us well, but we growed up now. iHeartRadio nominated. We needed to level up. Yes.
All growed up. I love that.
All growed up. All right, until next week. Bye.
Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.